my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost, give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Pancake breakfast this Saturday from 7:30 till 11:30. Then there's the car wash and the bake sale till 4:30. Then there's worship. I'm just making this up. There is no pancake breakfast. There's no car wash. And actually, I'm not even sure there's worship. We may talk about that. What gives you peace? I mean, there's a piece of pie, a piece of cake. There's a piece of stuff. A piece of paper. There's pieces in the kitty litter box. Piece of mail. Piece of cloth. Piece meal. But when it comes to peace, it's not about a Christmas carol, peace on earth and goodwill to men. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, do you have peace of heart? Is your spirit, your soul in turmoil? Or do you have a peace, a calmness, a tranquility that perhaps only you feels and recognizes? I mean, you're not some fool or idiot that walks around with a smile on their face all day long. But yet, is there a calmness about you? A kind of a secret, hidden, subtle air of confidence? Because you have peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, knowing that not only is there Christ, but God is in you as well. That confidence that allows you to not be concerned about things that make people worry and gossip and run around like a chicken with its head cut off. But you have peace. There's an impending storm and people are jam-packed at the grocery store and the big box stores getting extra milk, bread, and toilet paper. But yet, that doesn't really concern you because you have a confidence of peace that no matter what, grace is going to take care of me. Things will be okay. So tonight, on the first Tuesday, the 1st of September, 2015, we're talking about peace. And Jim, interestingly enough, people will say how they know there's a God and how God is in their life, and they've got scripture memorized, and they worship, and they belong, and they listen to your show, and watch you on Wednesday nights at the Hardesty Library, but yet, when you boil it down to gravy, and there's barely enough gravy to cover a chicken fried steak, they can't testify, they can't admit to having the kind of peace we're talking about.
Yeah, you're right. I think when we look through all the different archives that we've done on this show and the many, many shows, I think you can boil down a lot of our topics to the place of us really trying hard to convey a message that people can apply to their lives. Because if there was an area throughout all the different places that I go and the length of time that I've been saved, reborn, been a Christian, I think really the lack of application is probably top on the list.
Well, explain what you mean by lack of application. What do you mean by that?
Let's just take this particular subject. We're talking about peace, but you could take any attribute of God, any of the wonderful graces of God and experiences with your Father that you're supposed to have, but people seem to not be able to connect the dots when it comes to allowing God to be a part of their life. In other words, just like BJ's intro, you know, you have the scriptures down, you know what you should be experiencing, and maybe even you can say, and this would be great, on one hand it would be great, that you can say, I have experienced it to some degree. On the other hand, it wouldn't be good to only have it in a degree. You'd want to have it all. But the point is, a lot of people have the scriptures, but they don't have the experience. And when it comes to peace, this is what I feel like one of those markers on the side of the road. It's like a mile marker. I mean, I travel a lot, and so I'm paying attention to mile markers. I pay attention to road signs. They're important to me to get from one place to the other. And peace, to me, from Scripture and what I see, is such a predominant subject that if we're not having it, if we're not experiencing it, and maybe only once in a while, and of course it makes sense now to say once in a blue moon because last month there was a blue moon.
There was?
Yeah, there was. I went out about 2:30 in the morning and looked at it. So it was pretty cool. But so every once in a while we'll say, people say, I really feel at peace. Well, we ought to be in peace all the time. So that's kind of what I'm saying about the lack of application. We seem to not connect the dots when it comes to our own life being able to experience the wonderful things that we know we should be experiencing.
Isn't there a song called Blue Moon? I think there is.
Is there? Is it an old one?
Yeah, I think it's from like the 50s or 60s. I mean, I don't know the lyrics. I just, you know, part of the song is, you know,
They go, blue moon.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Hey, we might be able to do a duet sometime.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No, okay. You don't have a good singing voice.
That's right. So, what do you think about application for just a moment? We are talking about peace, but do you think what I shared made sense? That we struggle to make that connection?
Yeah, I'm trying to think how to put it into words. There's a I have an interesting situation right now here on the ranch.
Right.
All positive reasons, nothing negative, but
sure.
I have no experienced help on the ranch. What I mean by experience is every single employee of the ranch is new.
Right.
I mean, they have resumes and skills from here to Christmas. But the longest they've worked, the longest employee has worked here is like 3.5 weeks now.
Right.
I mean, everybody is new. I lost people to moving. I lost a couple cowgirls to college.
Right.
I mean, everybody, it's all, nobody, you know, bad, but I like have no depth of information about the ranch.
Right.
Which means that I got to micromanage everybody to show them how we do things here on the ranch and
sure.
why.
Sure.
There's a peace of mind about every 2 to 3 days. You can see it on the faces of the new cowgirls because they've learned the horses' names.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the chickens have names. The barn cats. Well, the barn cats are easy. We have Barn Kitty 1, Barn Kitty 2, Barn Kitty 3,
yeah.
Barn Kitty 4. Because it makes it easy to call the cats because all you do is say, Barn Kitty! And they all come running.
Right.
And so, you know, if you say hello, you just say, Barn Kitty, Barn Kitty, Barn Kitty, Barn Kitty, hello. And they're learning where the tools go, how the equipment is parked, where the feed store, you know, they're learning.
Right.
Well, as they come familiar and accustomed and they get this self-assured confidence that this is how they want it done, this is the stuff you do it with, this is the way it's supposed to look like when you're done, there's this peace of mind. So that every couple of days, yeah. when they step out of their trucks and cars and they walk over to the barn and they say good morning, it's a little more relaxed. It's a little more calm.
Right.
Because they have peace. They're becoming comfortable with their new job.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to think of the ranch as home, and they're starting to come up with ideas and things. And so there's this kind of growth.
Sure.
Well, in my opinion, that is not out of the ordinary, and it isn't special to being a ranch worker.
Right.
I think that applies to schoolwork, to cooking, to fishing, to bowling, to learning how to be in a relationship with somebody. I think that there is a learning curve
mm-hmm.
that gives somebody some self-assuredness, some confidence, some peace of mind and peace of heart. And I think that this should be considered when it comes to applying scripture to your life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you listen to Jim's radio show, you're reading your book, maybe you're going to meetings, you're trying to absorb as much information as you can. I think at one point it needs to be applied.
Right.
To see if it works, if it's accurate.
Sure.
And when it does, then you advance and you absorb more. It's like driving, learning to drive.
Right.
learning to dress yourself when you're a kid, and you finally dress yourself, and you know, it's no big deal. It becomes second nature. Hmm. There's a peace of mind of achievement.
Right.
And Scripture talks about peace. Have peace this, peace that, blah, 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 peace. Blah, 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 yada, 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 peace. And what they're trying to say is have a growth of experience that gives you peace, which takes away the worry, the unsuredness, the doubts,
mm-hmm.
the lack of confidence,
right.
the feeling of, well, I'm going to pray, but boy, I hope this works.
Right.
Maybe I should get one of those prayer rags. Maybe I should get a whole huddle of people together. Or I'm new. Maybe I should ask somebody who's worshipped in this building for years to help me. See, there's nothing about that gives somebody peace.
Right. Yeah, in fact, all the extra work that we do in place of God is actually counterproductive to the peace. So the more that you find your, and that's one of the reasons why, folks, really, I mean, what a subject when you look at, I call them kind of the twins, but Paul, in all of his messages, always started out with grace and peace. Be multiplied or added unto you. And if you look at them together, and you've already mentioned it together, you know, when you're beginning to experience God's grace, you are beginning to have experiences with God. Look, why wouldn't peace come?
Look at the way he worded that. Have grace and peace.
Right. May grace and peace be added unto you.
Which means that it's possible to know about grace and not have peace.
But if you're experiencing grace, wouldn't peace follow?
And we're right back at what I say is one of the, I mean, it, as far as I'm concerned, you could throw away a lot of books in the Bible as long as you held on to Revelation and Genesis. Look at in Genesis what the punishment of Adam and Eve and the serpent was. No peace. You're going to be too busy for peace.
Well, and that's actually the world that we've created even up to this day, which is running so hard, doing so much work, trying to get ahead. This is a part, this really is a part of what we live in 9 to 5 on a regular basis. So, think about what Adam and Eve experienced. Yeah, I did. Think about what Adam and Eve just experienced. Are we not live? Sure we are.
I don't know. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we just got a text message that said, no radio show, ?
Sure we are.
But
no, we're.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we just got a text message that said, no radio show,
Now see, what you just heard was, that's the machine that's not connected to the barn or the radio equipment. It's literally just a machine that's sucking this off the internet, just like the average listener.
Right.
Just hold on a second. Folks, I want to ask a favor of you if we could. I was about ready to give out the email to the show, which is the name of the show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces, just The Abiding Presence at G, the letter Gmail, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. Also, text message. The way you text the show is the first word is my dog Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. Type the word Ranger, then type your message, and when you press the send button and your machine asks you for a number, it's just 5 digits, 2930. That's 99,000. 99,000. But you don't put a comma. You just put 99,000.
Right.
All this is on the contacts page on the Abiding website. But send us some emails and send them some texts, because as far as I know, we're fine. We're rocking and rolling. But we just got a text literally less than a minute ago that said no radio show. Now we got a text that says everything okay. I'm listening from the beginning. Got another text that says, yes, you are on. Let me check an email real quick here. It says, hi, we can hear you, with a smiley face. Oh, this is from those people in Broken Arrow that I can't pronounce their name.
Joe and Michelle.
Movjian. Yeah. Movjian. I wish they would hyphenate it and help me out.
Maybe they can.
One of my pet peeves is when I destroy somebody's name. Hey, we got another text. It says, listening live from Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, good.
Well, they're Champaign, Illinois. They're probably half in the bag. They don't know what they're listening to.
Half in the bag.
Well, it says, I'm listening live. I got Champaign in Illinois.
You know? Well,
they're probably seeing a half a dozen computers.
Wonder how the show sounds to them.
I don't know. It's probably somebody saying, honey, go ahead and text the show on all six of our computers if you can catch them. They seem to be turning quite quickly over here. Well, I don't know what somebody, I guess, must be having technical difficulty. We got two more emails. Let's see. It says, yes, you're live. Funny echo comes and goes. Well, that's me.
That was you doing it on purpose.
Yeah, see that? Okay, here comes the funny echo. Ready, set, go. Here's the echo.
Yes, you're live. Funny echo comes and goes.
Yeah. That's me turning on this laptop machine that isn't connected to the barn. That was from Jamie. Got another email here. Well, this is interesting. Do you know anybody by the name of Kathy Huckaday?
I do.
Who is that?
It's my mother.
She never emails the show.
Well, she listens, though.
Are you sure that's your mom's name?
Yeah.
It says, radio show is live. That's a subject. Message body, coming through clear.
Good.
Is what your mom says. I like the fact that your mom, that's pretty neat. Okay, we got another one here. This is, Business Card Bob.
Good.
We haven't heard from Business Card Bob lately. It says, hi guys, you're on. Even a short message like that, and his email is garnered with a business card. Got another email here. It says, don't mention my name. Hug to Ranger. Listening live here in Canada. Please continue.
Well,
said don't mention her name. Got one here that says, here we go. It's Movjian. It says Movjian. I bet I still screwed it up. Hi, Jim, BJ Ranger, and all the listeners. The radio show is coming in well. Tonight's topic is a good one. That's from Catherine. Got another one here. Hello, guys. We are listening. That's from Dave. And we got one here. It says, hi from Pasco. And then it says, listen live from Pasco, Washington, with a smiley face. Okay. So
with this subject, let me present something.
We have peace now. We know we're broadcasting.
Hey, there you go. The experiences that we've just experienced.
Tied it all together.
Right. Okay, so here's my thought. When you look at scriptures, you see a lack of peace in people's lives when God isn't a part of their life. When they're on their own, they're doing life like everybody else. They're working hard. They're trying to get by. If God's not a part of it, you see scriptures that say things like, we looked for peace over in Jeremiah 8. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, but there was only trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of his neighing. That's the way you say that, isn't it? Knee, neighing, a horse, neigh.
Now tell him that's live, not Memrex.
No, it was recorded.
Oh, really?
No, that's live.
No, that's live. That's me.
Yep. So this is my point. If the scriptures talk about peace. Now see, it doesn't mean that people haven't had good, restful experiences in their life. But folks, we're talking about anything that comes from God. You got to understand there is an element that it's going to be beyond what the world can give you. Like, the world can be loving, but God's love is beyond what people can do to manufacture love. So the same thing about peace. Peace is one of those wonderful fruits of the Spirit over in Galatians. So peace is going to be endowed with God's kind of peace. And this is something that Jesus tells us over in John chapter 14 in verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So look at how Jesus words this. He's trying to say the world has a form of peace, but my peace is different. It's the whole element of peace. I don't know another word I could say. The whole structure of peace doesn't come from worldly working at it. It comes from God, His essence, His love, His power, His glory. And you put all those kind of words together, when God's with you, there is a sense of peace that goes beyond anything that the world can give you. Jesus is saying this very thought. It's in the midst of Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, the friend that He's going to send once Jesus leaves and goes on into heaven. There is a sense of peace. So again, tonight, when we talk about this subject, I want everybody to think about the connection with God. The more real He is, the more you experience in your life peace. Versus if you're not experiencing peace, there must be a disconnect where the world is more real to you.
We got some emails. We have an email that came in 4 days ago. Remember last week's fried butter story?
Yes, I do.
About the two girls?
Yeah, the race.
Yeah, the big girl race.
Right, big girl race.
It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. I couldn't even imagine taking a bite of deep fried butter. The only way I would attempt to try it would be if I could stick it in the center of a big plate of mashed potatoes or whack it on the top of a piece of corn on the cob. This is Diane from Toronto. P.S. Please say hi to Ranger from my 5 Yorkshire Terriers."
Wow.
Okay, we got David.
5 little buddies.
5 terriers, Yorkshires. We got David, Goliath, Daisy, Winston, and Coco. Ranger! What do you say? Yorkshire Terriers. What do you say, Ranger? Ranger, dog spelled backwards. Good girl. Good girl. So, Ranger saying hello to the Yorkshire Terriers listening out of... Where's Diane? Toronto.
Toronto.
Okay, we got another email here that says, P.S., yes, we got a one here. It says, it's from Heather Weaver, who...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said, yes, I did have a moment to pray for her. Do you know what she's referring to? Heather Weaver? Is that the mom?
Yes.
Okay, that's a Weaver message here. Here we go. We got one here. It says, "I'm 7 years old, and I have been struggling with my telling time flashcards. Jim, right up your alley, flashcards. I didn't know the answers, and I was always guessing. I didn't know what happened today, but my mind flipped into doing schoolwork, and as I grabbed my flashcards, I told Mom I love school. When I began doing the cards, a voice in my head was telling me the answers. I came to the card 805 and stopped. I wasn't sure what to say. The voice kept repeating 805, 805, 805. I was like, who is this in my mind? Who's talking to me? So I slowly said 805, not sure it was the answer. When I got it right, I said thank you. And the voice quickly said, you're welcome. I kept going, but soon got one card wrong. Then I got the next one wrong. That's when Mom stopped me and said, you were getting them all right. Go back to what you were doing before. So in my mind, I said, tell me the answer. Tell me the answer. He started telling me the answer, and I got the rest of them right. Grace makes school awesome. Laugh out loud, lots of giggles. This is from... Tiasha Weaver.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
So mom is making her kids
learn their homework through grace.
Well, flashcards.
Yeah.
I bet you Heather Weaver is a pretty decent teacher.
Oh, gosh.
How many kids does she have? About 8, 9? What's she got?
I was going to say 6. Maybe you guys could tell us for sure, 6 or 7.
But I would just like to ask a request of people. When you email the show and you say, we are all listening, or me and my dog is listening, or your cat or whatever, if they're listening, I think it's only right that they get to hear their names on the show.
Sure.
Unless you say, please don't mention my name,
right,
or they say,
right,
no, Mom, I don't want my name mentioned. But I think that, you know, let's have some fun. We're talking about peace here, folks. Now, I want you to think about something for a second. Okay? There's all kinds of just stuff on television right now. There's the elections coming up. There's the murder rates are up in cities, and there's this person getting shot and that person getting shot. And it just seems like there's hardly anything worth watching on television except a commercial about ice cream or potato chips. And you've got your job and your school, and you got your bills to pay. And you long for a simpler time. Or you think that maybe your mom or dad or your grandparents didn't have the dramas and the pile, just the buckets and buckets of drama of today's world on the 1st of September 2015. But step back in time,
mm-hmm,
2,000 years. To when Jesus and his little posse were roaming around the countryside.
Right.
And there was slavery. There was wholesale killing. I mean, if you stole, they cut your hand off. If somebody didn't like what you said, they just hold you down and cut your tongue out. If you couldn't pay your bills, they put you in debtor's prison, which was a life sentence. Most people didn't own anything other than the clothes on their back. So if they didn't work, excuse me, or the production was down, or they got sick, the landowner would just kick them out of the shack and get somebody in there that could.
Hmm.
That there was kings and queens and emperors and monarchs who just summarily would kill people just because they could. So there was still peace.
Right.
But the people that had the peace were the quote-unquote Christians. The people who had heard the Son talk about the Father's power and love and glory. People that had seen the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers healed, the deaf,
right,
could hear laughter.
Sure.
The people that had peace had a confidence. And they were surrounded by dramas. I mean, dramas that would just rock your world. When was the last time you looked out your window or you opened up your door and somebody drug your next door neighbor out on their lawn and killed them with a sword or pummeled them with rocks and then just, right, took all the possessions and said, if you don't pay your bills, this is going to happen to you? So as bad as you think it is, as hard as life as you think you have it, really see when Scripture was written. And you can see that back then, people still had peace.
Right.
And when they did, as much as grace prevails, so does peace.
Right. Yeah, you know, when you look through Scripture, you really see this wonderful plan of God. I mean, man, when he chose, Adam and Eve, when they chose to take the path that they did and the consequences that followed that path, there was nothing about that path that was peaceful. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a peaceful moment, but I'm talking about experiencing peace on a regular basis. Because this is something, if you really want to know, I think if you could cut peace out and make it a commodity and sell it, you'd be extremely well off. Because the day that we're living in, there is no peace. Jesus even said in this last day, men's hearts will fail them for the fear that is coming upon the earth. Well, Jesus came, and everyone should know that he is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace. The great covenant that we have back in the old covenant that said Jehovah Shalom, the God of Peace. Jesus came to bring peace for man. Man didn't have peace between man and God because of sin. Jesus came to remove the sin and bring a peace to man's heart, a reconciliation. That's too big of a word. Just to bring this wonderful harmony between God and man so that the soul of man could experience once again what it's like to be in union with God, where God and man are at peace with one another. And there's a wonderful relationship and a wonderful experience that can begin to happen from that. Well, that's the plan of God. We can use many different ways of telling the plan of God, but this is one of them, is the peace that comes. And this is something every single one of us should be experiencing on a regular basis, and I'm glad that we're talking about this tonight. You got some emails?
We got an email, and I guessed right. The Weavers have 8 kids.
Oh.
It says, we have 5 kids in the house. Okay, that's 5. And then she says, 1 in Glenpool. Oh, it says, we have 5 kids in the house, 1 in Glenpool. She's getting up there in years. Okay, so that's 6. That's okay. 6. 5 kids in the house, 1 in Glenpool. That's 6. I was wrong. And 3 in the Northwest.
That's 9.
They got 9 kids. That's a school.
It is. That's why Heather's good as a teacher. It's obvious.
Yeah, so... Wow, she has 9 kids.
Right.
No wonder she drives that van-looking thing.
I wonder how the older ones, if they got a hold of this, or if she can see. Heather, if you're listening, write us back in and tell us the difference of some of the things that you've learned now and how you're able to help the kids get a hold of it versus some of the ones that are the older ones that maybe through the years, the younger years, you didn't have some of this and maybe... not that they turned out different, but maybe their experiences were different. See if you can't share some of that.
We got an email that says, good night, Jim and BJ. Enjoying the show as usual. I understand all you're saying about peace. I'd love to be in that place. I'm not asking for a 10. We didn't get the rest of the email because it was too long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If an email is too long, it doesn't show up on our screen. So if you had more that you had typed after 10... I'm not asking for a 10. Please send that in another text message.
Okay.
I mean text message.
I'm going to read something here.
We
from
need emails.
Scripture.
We need text messages.
We do. Right here in John 16, verse 33. And to kind of give you some heads up, John 15, 14, 15, and 16, and even 17, Jesus is talking through the first 14, 15, and 16 to his disciples. And he's preparing them for the time when he's going to be gone. And he's making some amazing comments here. And when he says this, it's because Jesus is letting them know that there's going to be someone that he's going to send to the earth that will be with them at all times, and they can have the same sense of peace that the disciples had when they were with Jesus, even when he's gone. And he made this comment, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's pretty good.
It is.
And that's where you get your confidence. That's where peace comes.
Okay, we got an email here. It says, my whole family's praying for Ranger.
Nice.
Yep, got another email here. I'm praying for Ranger. Hope everything goes well. Got a text message that says, take good care of Ranger.
That's nice.
Yeah, so we got a couple things about Ranger. They're talking about you. Oh, look at her. She's settling in. Look at her getting comfortable.
Uh-huh.
She is going out for the count. She's laying down, getting comfortable on the rug.
She knows it's not time for the end of the show.
No, she's sleeping.
Right.
She's saying, you know, I can get in at least an hour's worth
That's
of
right.
worth of sleep
I
here.
I got another hour.
Yeah, I've already barked. I'm not right. on for an hour. I'm just going to sleep through this.
That's right. That's right.
You know, when you can't keep your dog's attention because they want to sleep, you really can't take yourself too seriously. The we're talking about a piece of the spirit, a piece of soul, a deep-seated type of calmness.
Yes.
All of us remember an uncle, a dad, a grandfather that when we were kids, no matter what happened, no matter what it was, no matter how catastrophic, no matter how dramatic it was, they just weren't rattled by it.
Mm-hmm.
They always knew what to say. They always knew what to do, to the point that As we got older and they got much older,
right?
Even as adults, we would say, now what would they say to this? How would they handle this? What would they do?
Right.
How would they have handled this situation?
Sure.
And there was peace in that because it was like a backstop.
A familiarity.
Familiarities and that's really what the book and scripture is supposed to be.
Right. Well, if God's supposed to be the one you're familiar with, then why wouldn't there be a sense of peace that comes with it? I mean, what we're sharing here all comes back to this one wonderful truth, and that is something that I believe in the day we're living has been watered down and forgotten for now many, many years, and that is God is supposed to be very real to you. And you can't help but love the story we got from the Weavers.
Yeah, all nine kids.
Right, and where we're learning and we're hearing a voice and we're experiencing. I remember your, well, it must have been about the fifth week that you were in the Bible class that we were doing.
Yeah.
The fifth week, about the you'd already had some really cool experiences with animals and different things.
Yep.
And then this one day you came to me, and I thought it was pretty funny. The look on your face was, okay, I'm either crazy or hearing things or I don't know. You know, and I'm not saying it probably exact, but this is the story of being at the stoplight. And you're hearing a voice say to you, run the red light.
Go through the red light. Go through the red
light.
And
I remember you said to Ranger, you said, we're either going to be in this all the way or we're not.
Yep.
And you didn't look to the right or left. You just floored it. And the next thing you know, you're up on the interstate on Highway 169.
Yep.
And within, what, not much time, a motorcyclist had gone down?
We went through three red lights in the fast lane. And when we went through those lights, there was no traffic either way. I mean, it was like the lights were green, but it was red.
Mm-hmm.
And there was cars waiting for it to turn green, but yet there was an open lane for me. I didn't have to swerve or like a car chase. It was like everything's been cleared. That was the motorcyclist.
Yeah.
Yep. He was in somebody's blind spot. They went to change lanes, and they drove him off in the shoulder of the road. His bike was trashed. I mean, it was just mangled. You know, and there's like motorcycle parts for about 20 yards, you know, on the shoulder of the road. And he's laying by his bike and his right leg. I mean, his blue jeans are like a dark maroon. You know, he's bleeding.
Right.
And I said, well, now I know why I'm here. And he says, what? And I says, well, I said, do you believe in God? And he says, well, yeah. And I said, okay. And I said, why don't I just pray for you? And I says, well, the bike is screwed up. You're screwed up. There's no reason for you to be screwed up. You're fine. You know, you're okay. You know, he says, well, what kind of prayer is that? You know? And he says, are you a churchgoer? Are you a Christian? And I says, no, I hate church. I don't like Christians. And I says, but you're fine now. And I says, if you believe, you're fine. And he rolled up his pant legs and he says, where's the gash? Where's the cut? Where's the road? You know, where's the damage? And he says, it don't hurt. I feel fine. And about then, the paramedics rolled up. And the one paramedic says, oh, you know, well, there's a lot of blood. We expected that. And he says, oh, I'm fine. And then the other paramedic went over and they took scissors, you know.
Sure.
I hate when they do that. They take scissors and they just cut his britches,
right,
you know, up to his thigh. And everything's fine. And he says, no, he says, it's a miracle. We prayed and, you know, God fixed my leg. I was all messed up. My leg was really bad. And they just kind of looked at each other, thought he was shocky, right, or, you know, sure, head injury.
Sure.
And the paramedic says, no, this is just oil from your bike. And he says, I don't have red oil in my motorcycle, you know. And he's trying to tell him that. I just said, well, there you go. I got, you know, I need to get going.
I think you said something like, I need to go get ice cream.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some ice cream. And I did. I just left him, and he goes, wait, oh, oh, you know, and I just took off.
But didn't you see him like a year ago or so?
I ran into him, and it was his wife a year later.
And did he say something to you?
Oh, he was freaked. She wanted to give me hugs. She says, can I hug you? And I says, no, not really. And she says, you don't like hugs? And I says, I don't know you. You know, your clothes might be dirty. You know, of course, I'm just, you know.
You're filthy.
I'm filthy like I always am. I mean, yeah, I can have clean clothes on, and 20 minutes later, I just look like a back door porch, you know, right, doormat. And he said, this is the guy, this, you know, and he says, I just, you know, who are you, you know, where are you from, you know, and I said something stupid, you know, well, you know, I've been in prison all my life, or, you know,
right,
I always say something ridiculous.
Right.
But yeah, he said, man, he says, my life is completely different now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but yeah, that was, but there was peace in that.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Because I looked at Ranger and I said, look, either I'm going to ignore what I hear and what I'm thinking and feeling, and we're just going to go home to the ranch, or I'm just going to be all in 100% and say, fine.
Right.
You know, I get pulled over, I'll just say, you know, I heard voices that said run red lights and go this way instead of that way.
Oh, that'll go over real well with the police.
I've done worse. Yeah. Actually, one thing I did do was, it was nighttime, and I got pulled over for speeding. And so I switched places with Ranger. I got on the passenger side, and Ranger sat behind the steering wheel, and he rolled, I had the window rolled down, and Ranger's right, just sitting there looking at him, and he says, sir, have you been drinking? And I says, oh, I've been drinking a lot. And he says, what are you doing driving? I says, well, I'm not driving, the dog's driving. And he says, well, the dog can't drive this truck. And I says, sure she can. She's sober. She don't drink. And he says, well, why is your dog driving? Because I'm drunk. You know?
Yeah.
And he was just not liking this.
Right.
You know, and he says, well, let me see a license. And I says, well, she's got a dog license. And he says, well, do you have a driver's license? And I says, why do I need a driver's license? The dog's driving. I'm just sitting over here. And he was really getting frustrated, you know.
Sure.
And I you know Ranger, she barks mm-hmm. whenever I want her to. And I says, Ranger, tell him you're driving. And she goes, woof, 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 woof. And he sits there and he says, all right, he says, you win. And I says, what? And he says, have you been drinking? I says, I've never been drunk in my life. I says, suck all the blood out you want. I says, do all the testing you want. I says, I'm going to pass. And I says, was I speeding? And he says, yeah. And he says, do you know how fast you're going? I says, I really don't care, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
I says, I don't know. I don't care. He just started laughing. And he says, this is one for the books. He says, let me get a picture of the dog. You know?
Did he really take a
yeah.
picture?
And he says, whoever gives me the best story. And he says, this is the best story I've ever had. And he says, just slow it down. And I go, Ranger, you got to slow down. You know, and
yeah.
she goes, woof, woof. And then she looks at him and he says, oh, this is, you know, he just walked away chuckling. But
yeah,
true story. Oh, here we go. It says, now I can finish the text. It says, good night, Jim and BJ, enjoying the show as usual. I understand all you're saying about peace. I'd love to be in that place. I'm not asking for a 10. I'm not asking for a 10-step process per se, but how did you get to this place of peace? God bless.
Okay.
Jim?
Yeah, I'll go first. This whole process is beginning to experience God more on a regular basis and letting God, and I really mean that let God become real in your life. And that really is a part of this wonderful experience of peace. You know, BJ's, when he started the beginning of the show, I believe it was very accurate. With what he said, you know, the more real God becomes, the more comfortable you become in a situation because you're familiar with it. You've been there before. This isn't the first time around. The more at ease you are, the more at rest you are, the more peace you have about the outcome. And this is all a part of what we're talking about on this show, where we're beginning to actually let grace be a part of our life on a regular basis. So that's my process. And I'll just let you know, today I've had so many of these, I don't want to say deja vu, but so many of these moments where you're there, and it's been happening to me a lot last week. You're there, you're functioning well, but you're not there. I mean, you're experiencing something bigger. You're seeing a bigger picture than just what you're looking at. And even before the show started, Ranger and I were locked out of the house for a few seconds.
That's true.
We couldn't get back in.
I accidentally locked the door. Jim and Ranger were outside on the picnic table.
Because, anyhow.
I'm inside eating milk duds.
Yeah. See, now we see, folks, what happens. Jim gets locked out while the snacks get eaten.
And did I offer you milk duds? And your answer was,
yeah,
no, they get stuck in my teeth.
Stick to my teeth. But just that moment, the time that we had out there, again, and it's, you know, sure, there's grace on the ranch. But, I mean, you can find God anywhere. In fact, let me say it this way. If you can go to a place where it's just very raw, the world that God created, and immediately your soul gets at rest and you begin to sense peace, and that's what God created, what would you experience if you experienced Him personally? Go ahead.
No question, anybody that has a relationship with the guys or believes there is a God, when they come to the ranch, They feel the grace, like there's more grace here, which that's just not true. I mean, there's as much grace here as there is at the county dump, at the garbage dump. There's as much grace on this ranch. There's the same amount of grace in a run-down, seedy nightclub. There's as much grace on this ranch, the same amount of grace as there is on a street corner where gang members are selling guns and drugs. The only thing that sets this ranch apart from other places where people say, I really feel a connection, I can feel grace, I can touch grace, I really feel grace on this ranch,
right,
is because they come here expecting that. They come here because they've heard something or read something or somebody said something.
Right.
And they've heard about answered prayers. So their mind is on the right track.
Yeah. It's engaged.
It's open and receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't when they're driving in a quote-unquote rough or bad part of town. They're not thinking about grace.
Right. And they're not thinking at all about peace.
No. And no. See, here lies the problem with organized religion. Because they... And whether it's accidental or on purpose, who cares? That's not the point. It still happens. So don't worry about blame or accusations. Just look at the facts of the things, how it all comes out in the wash. The point is that they tell you there are places you shouldn't go. There are things and people that have nothing to do with heaven, that there are you can be in parts of your town, or there can be certain days of the week that are not as productive for a Christian or to have a relationship with God, Jesus, grace, and Holy Spirit with the guys. And then the flip side is Sunday morning at 10:45, this is the place to be.
Right. Right.
If you want to get closer to God, if you want your prayers answered, then we've got a Bible study for you that's been very successful.
Right.
So at one, when the pendulum swings of certain organized religions and certain buildings and structures and people standing in front of a pulpit on a stage, when that pendulum swings one way, they're literally telling you that there are places in your life and people you can meet and situations you can find yourself in where you cannot find grace with a compass and a flashlight and a net. And when the pendulum swings the other way, they misrepresent it again, saying,
right,
this is the only place to find grace.
Right.
This is the most accurate. This is the shortest path between point A and point B.
Right.
When in reality, they're both restricting your peace.
Right.
When Paul was in prison, he had peace.
Oh, yeah.
When Jesus was screwed to the fence post, thrown in the cave, sent to hell for a 3-day sleepover, he had peace.
Yeah.
When Job was losing everything, one thing after another, year after year, he had peace. So how can someone tell someone else that no matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing, that God isn't already there?
Sure.
That in a heartbeat, you can't turn towards grace and salvation and have all the benefits, all the bells and whistles of the Welcome to Heaven package offers you,
right,
that you were born with? If you're born with grace, the only person that can keep you from it is yourself, is your own frame of mind. Think about this. If you're born with the peace of Christ and you fast forward 15 years, Fast forward to 30, to 45, to 65, to 70. If you have lost peace, if you have no peace in your soul, in your heart, who is to blame but us ourselves?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. I finally got to say something. Oh, guess what? We got something from the Weaver lady. It says, all the kids have thought I was crazy for years. Even her family knows. It says, I've always have a testimony for any situation. I see the older ones in their 20s seeking a no-drama, peaceful life. I steer them toward God in this way, pointing out grace when it shows up in their lives. But ultimately, I do the same thing. God, you have to take care of it because there's nothing I can do. I say this a lot when the kids don't understand the curriculum. Now we're back to the flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
But I see results quicker with the little kids because they share their experiences with me. Well, I always say this, you know, kids have less drama, yeah. Less agendas. It's easier. Well, it's easier for a kid to learn a foreign language.
Yeah, well, look at even the testimonies. She has more experiences and does better with the little kids because they share their experiences with her. Well, what are they doing? They're becoming familiar with the fact that they should expect this. So I think that that's pretty cool because it really kind of dovetails its way into what we're saying here tonight. I wanted to read a verse of scripture here. I believe you'll all really like it. It's in the Amplified Version in Colossians 3. And notice what Paul said, because BJ was talking about Paul's life. If you looked at it, you would say it was anything but peaceful. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's got so many instances to be totally a wreck emotionally. I mean, all the different things that would come against him, the way that people came against him, the persecutions that came. I mean, it was anything but what you would call peace. And yet, look at what he says. Verse 15, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire continually. And he goes on to describe what an umpire would do. Deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called, and be thankful and appreciative and giving praise to God always. Okay, well, notice what he says. Peace is soul harmony, and it's in your heart, and it acts like an umpire, bringing decision, bringing settling things with finality, all your questions that arise in your mind. Well, see, this is the difference between what we were describing earlier, BJ, where you were saying modern religion does a great job of making us feel like the only time you can have peace is if you're in a building, if you're in a structure, if you all come together right at a particular time. And then to be actually somewhat feeling like you're on your own when you're not in that secure or safe place. Well, notice what this says. This is talking about the peace of God all day long, settling all the questions with finality that would arise in your mind so that you can have peace no matter where you are, no matter who you're confronted with.
We got an email that says, BJ, so sorry to hear about Ranger. I know she will do good. We're all praying for Ranger. Please don't mention our names. Love the show topic tonight. Okay, then we got an email that came in 11 minutes ago. It says, so on Saturday, my wife and I took Xena, our dog, for a walk in the woods. Xena got into a hornet's nest and came running to me and dove to the ground as if she had been shot. She was kicking at her head to get hornets off her head. I quickly brushed the hornets off her head and body. We could tell she was in pain. It took me a minute, but I realized that Xena is my dog and therefore should experience God's grace. She was waiting on me to do something, so I prayed, Lord God, let Xena experience your grace and mercy because she's my dog and it's not your will that she be in pain or suffer. After that, I said to my wife, Xena will be fine. Let's go. And Xena showed up. No signs of pain or suffering.
Cool.
My wife and I are super excited to live this grace life more and more. This is Jamie, Jocelyn, and Xena.
Does it say where they're from?
No. They didn't say what kind of dog Azine is.
Okay.
I like to know that stuff. Just kind of curious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people listen to the show. They take it seriously. Thank you very much, by the way. And if you're a new listener, welcome. But when you tell us things, because the listeners like to say hello to other listeners, and you know, it's kind of nice just to meet these people.
Right.
You know, but just that. Okay, we got a text message that says, "Hello, brothers. This isn't a trick question. What do you mean God becomes real?" Then it says, "Blessings, Jim."
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to something that I think you'll identify with, especially if you know Scripture, and if you don't, you'll be able to. When Adam and Eve were in the garden with God, God created things the way that He wanted, and He actually said in verse 31 of the first chapter, "And God saw everything that He made, and it was very good." Not just good, very good. So the way God made it, it was good. And when you look at Adam and Eve, now, this is going to be hard for you to imagine, but because we're so flesh conscious and we are so of the world where things are fleshly. But Adam and Eve didn't even really know they had a body until after they sinned. In other words, they certainly weren't conscious of their body because they were what? They were enjoying a spiritual relationship that was just as real to them with God spiritually as we've come to actually enjoy physical relationships with one another. So when Jesus put things back in place where we can have that relationship restored, what is it but for us all to seek to have God become very real to us, which means you would hear His voice speaking in your heart. We've already had testimony to that tonight, that you would recognize His presence where God would be real, and you would begin to have a real conversation with the Lord.
Well, the childbirth, making it painful.
Right.
The monthly responsibilities of a woman, the responsibilities of a man to work hard and provide. The recognition of the body and the humbleness to wear clothing, to be conscious of awareness and of appearance of your body. Those were the punishments. Mm-hmm. That was on the list of punishments for Adam and Eve.
Right.
The removing the legs off the serpent, turning it into a snake, saying you'll crawl, you'll be venomous, you'll bite at the heel of man, and man will be mad at you for it.
Right.
Well, once again, it's about recognition of the body. So Adam and Eve and the serpent had peace. They had peace in their heart and peace in their mind because in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't about the body. They might as well have not had a body because it was about experiencing Christ, their Father, the Creator, and enjoying that relationship. So see, once again, Genesis kind of, I guess for lack of a better way, fills in the
yeah, it continues to give us a good start. It helps us to find out where the beginning was and why we should begin to experience that again.
All right, folks, it's kind of slowed down a little bit. We need some emails. We need some text messages. And your questions do not have to pertain to peace, what we're talking about. Jim and I are only here in the barn with Ranger on a Tuesday night for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So if you have a question or a comment or you just want to say hello, please take advantage of this time. We are here in the barn on this Tuesday night. It's about 12 minutes after 9 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. And so email us. It's the name of the show. No capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence. And then at the letter G, gmail.com. To send a text message, the first word that you want to type in your text message is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. Then type the rest of your message. When you press the send button to send your text, just put in these five digits, 99000. That's 2 9s, 3 0s. So send us what you will.
Let me go ahead and give a definition of peace that comes right out of the Bible. The word peace in the Hebrew language is shalom.
And it is? Shalom?
Shalom. Mm-hmm.
They say that a lot.
Yeah. Shalom.
I didn't know that.
Peace. And this is what it means. It means completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, contentment. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, not bad.
So when you think of this word, it really is one of those all-encompassing words that says everything's going pretty well with your life.
Yeah.
And here's my point I want to bring out. Again, you can have this sense of satisfaction and peace. I know I'm using the word. You can have this in your life even if things don't seem like they're going well. That's what we're trying to help people to see tonight, is you can live in a place where even if on the outside, in your flesh, according to the way that things are going, your past record of it's going bad and it's going to get even worse, you can have this kind of peace. God can be that real to you.
There are situations that occur in all of our lives. Whether you're 7 years old or you're 77 years old, that takes your appetite away. It's hard to listen to your favorite song because your mind is focused on whatever issue it is. You lose sleep. It's the last thought before you fall asleep, and it's the first thought in the morning that you have this impending doom or situation. It's real easy for something or someone, for that matter, to just suck the very air, the life, the pleasure of living out of your life in a heartbeat. And you have no peace. It's like that Peanuts cartoon, the Charlie Brown character that walks around with the little rain cloud over his head, that no matter what time of day it is, no matter what's going on, his life is under a cloud. It's just gloomy.
Right.
And although those things can occur, you have a weapon at your disposal that you don't have to pray about. You really just need to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say believe, I mean believe. It's like, as crazy as it sounds, it's like you go to the grocery store and someone walks up to you and they say, "How come you don't have a kitchen sink?" And you go, "What?" "Yeah, it's just really sad. I can't believe you don't have a kitchen sink." What? Are you an idiot? What are you talking about? I have a kitchen sink. I just got a drink of water and rinse the glass out in my kitchen sink, thank you very much, before I came to this store.
Right.
I promise you, I guarantee you, I have a kitchen sink. So no matter how ridiculous, how stupid, no matter how crazy, they can follow you around the whole store saying, "Oh, if I had the money, I'd get you a kitchen sink. I can't believe your kitchen sink is gone. And how do you manage without a kitchen sink?" You could care less what they said and who they said it to. You want to know why? Because you have peace. There's no doubt in your mind there's a kitchen sink in your home.
Yeah. You know, there's something that I can read that goes with that. This is, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, Paul in jail. Listen to the way that he talks. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." So you can see it right there, folks. The more real God becomes to you, the easier it is for you to walk in a place of peace, even if your mind is giving you fits. And he goes on in verse 10 to say, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last for your care for me has flourished again." Though, in other words, his care, he's talking about they sent things. Remember he said, "Send me my coat and send me some parchments and send me this and that." The care of these people has flourished again. "Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Look at what he goes back to. His fallback is always on the fact that he knows God. God is real. And he knows, no matter what it seems like, even in prison right here, he understands how much God is with him. He's in a place of rest. He's at peace. He's content. And I think there's some really good characteristics here that we could learn. And this is, like I said earlier, a mile marker. If you find yourself in a situation and you're anything but content, you're just literally coming undone, you're frayed at the edges. Folks, you're not allowing grace to be active in your life.
Okay, we got a very, very upsetting email 4 minutes ago. But I just consider the source. This person has sent these emails before to us. It says, "Enjoying the show and some mint chip ice cream, Barb in Minnesota." Now, for any of the regular listeners, you know that Dave and Barb taunt and tease us poor little innocent people here in the barn with ice cream all the time. They brag about it. We have tens of thousands of emails from Minnesota talking about how they're eating ice cream and we're not here in the barn. So that's what Barb is doing. Mint chip. Do you like mint chip?
I do like mint chip.
Is mint chip where the ice cream's green and it's got chocolate chips in it?
Yes. I like it. It's good.
Yeah, that's
nasty. We had good snacks tonight, didn't we?
We did. You brought barbecued chicken wings and Cheetos that we never got to.
Nope.
We got another email here. Oh, it's a picture of a dog.
You know somebody's going barbecued chicken wings and what?
Cheetos. Cheetos puffed.
We're going to have those next week.
You know what I like? This is my favorite Cheeto. I like to get a big bag of Cheetos, the puffed ones, the big airy ones, open up the bag, and set them in the cupboard for about 3 weeks. And they get kind of stiff and chewy and stale.
Mm-hmm.
I like them that way.
Huh. I'm going to set mine in the cupboard. I'll see how long they last.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to let you know. And your mom is listening, so Grandma Huckaday, don't spoil this. We're going to have a little fun with Jim's wife and his daughters. Is we're going to put this bag of Cheetos that's unopened in the cupboard in the kitchen, and I predict the Cheetos will be gone by next Tuesday night. He doesn't think so, because they eat a lot of bad food, you know.
Yogurts, apples,
vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they boil things instead of dipping it in gravy. They're just an odd bunch. But anyways, we'll see how long the Cheetos last in this quote-unquote healthy diet.
All right.
Okay, it says, "Hi, y'all. Listening in, our family dog contracted parvovirus a while back. I didn't let the rest of the family know what it was because I had a dog die from it when I was a little child. I told Jesus that I couldn't do anything about it, and I'm not going to worry. He needed to take care of it. The next day, Lucas was perfectly fine. Anyways, enjoying the show." Well, that's kind of nice.
Really good.
Okay, we got, let me see here. Okay, here's the next one. Oh, we got a picture. We got a picture of, a dog. It looks like it's got some lab in it. And then there's a picture of a big smile on this girl. Girl with her arms around the dog. Kind of a nice picture. And it says, we are from Caring Place, Ontario, Canada.
Wow.
So the name of the town is Caring Place. The state is Ontario and the country is Canada. We would love to hear from other people in Ontario. And then it says, oh, you know who this is? This is the guy who races septic tank trucks. You know, honey wagon?
Right.
He's a honey wagon racer. Which is, you know, there's all kinds of professional sports nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who his sponsor is. Like, maybe the Bears for Charmin toilet paper?
I don't know. Kohler?
That's right. Or Standard, some toilet manufacturer.
Right.
Coming out of turn number three, out of Ontario, Canada, sponsored by Charmin and Coiler Toilets. Yeah, he does. He's a professional honey wagon septic tank race car driver. It says, oh, and Xena. Oh, this is the people with Xena and the Hornets. It says Xena is a lab collie mix. And so this is Jamie, Jocelyn and Xena. So Jocelyn is in the picture.
And does the lab look like it has long hair or short hair?
It's hard to say, but it's kind of medium maybe.
Okay.
Now I figured this out. With the information we have now, we know that Jocelyn is the daughter or granddaughter of Jamie.
Oh.
So it's either her dad, stepdad, okay, or grandfather or uncle who is the septic tank driver. Yeah, we've got this all figured out, folks.
Hey, how much does Ranger shed? A lot?
Quite a bit.
Lab shed quite a bit?
Yeah, especially on the ranch. Yeah. Okay, we got another one here that says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Noticed my cat's right front paw, lower leg, was swollen a few days ago. She was still walking on it, but favoring a bit, and it was hot to the touch. Felt myself getting worried and started to imagine a horrible scenario involving veterinarians and meds. But I stopped and decided to invest my emotion into thanking God that my cat is just fine. Then went about my business. 15 minutes later, I noticed her foot was totally normal. Peace is awesome. Blessings. This is from Angela in Bonaire, Georgia.
Oh, really? Great.
Got another.
We haven't heard from Angela before, have we?
No, we got another one here that says, great show. Hi, Ranger, Jim, and BJ. Enjoying the show. Keep up the good work. God bless. Oh, this is from Florida, Ed. Oh,
okay.
We haven't heard from Florida in a while.
It's been a while.
You know, it's kind of nice that people check in because, I mean, I'm not going to say something ridiculous that we're family, but we got a connection here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every Tuesday night they hear messages from people and our imaginations kind of get carried away and we say, hey, you know, they're listening to what we're doing.
Right.
There's still time to send in a text or an email. We have a homework assignment for you tonight, folks. We haven't had one in a while. And it obviously has to do with Jim's topic tonight, peace. And what I want you to do is, and now, if you got a house full of listeners, or there's a couple of you listening, like Jocelyn with the dog Xena and her grandfather, who's the septic tank driver. Do you think she calls him Grandpa or Granddad? Or Paw. Papa?
Paw.
Paw?
Yeah, Grandpa.
Grandpa?
Hmm.
We're just guessing. I mean, we're good guessers, though, right?
Yeah, we are.
How much, I'll bet you a shiny new dime right now, that there's a lot of laughter on Jocelyn and Xena's part. I bet they're the only ones laughing in that house. She's probably just dying, laughing tears, just saying, oh my God, Grandpa, Grandpa, ha, ha, ha. But, I mean, let's be respect. I mean, hey, if you're a senior citizen and you're still racing septic tanks, trucks, honey wagons. And, folks, let me tell you something about racing. These guys, the tanks are full. So when there's a crash, the stuff really does hit the fan. Yeah, think about that. The trucks are full when they race. That really separates the men from the boys there.
I guess it does.
Here's the homework assignment. Just keep track of two columns. Draw a line down the center of a piece of paper. On one side, make marks when you have peace, and make other marks when you don't have peace. Until next week's show. And keep track of where possibly someone upset you, road rage, someone had 14 items in the 10 item or less aisle in the grocery store. Little things that really take peace away. You know, a car accident, a tornado, a flood, a house on fire. You slam your fingers in the car door. There are things that legitimately distract you that for all intents and purposes are kind of out of your control. But so you've lost peace momentarily. But believe it or not, most of the things in our lives that frustrate us, that make us mad, that keep our prayers unanswered and our souls in turmoil, and with just seems like no possible connection with Christ at all, are always very small and simple and self-fulfilling, self-prophesized, and we build and we create them. We make stuff up ourselves. We take a perfectly piece of flat ground, and it's not even a molehill, and we turn it into an entire mountain range. So this week's homework assignment is keep track of when you have peace and when you don't have peace.
Yeah, that's good.
And don't share that with the rest of your family. Keep it private. Mind your own business. And next Tuesday night's show, we'll talk about your list to see how much peace you have versus how much peace, and literally it's true, do you deny yourself? Did you give up on?
You know, one of the things, because we try to identify with not only the goodness of God, but we identify with modern religion and how it can, I could use the word pervert or distract us from what is accurate and true. And BJ, here's one of the areas that we've talked about before, and that is God, and you and God become one, you have a relationship. Well, that's not for 10 minutes of the day, 20 minutes of the day. It's not for 20% of your life. It really is supposed to be 100% in and 100% of God for everything that you do.
That's right.
Well, I know that it's that in a lot of different areas, people are proficient. They seem to be able to get God to work with them. And then there's other areas of their life where they're not. Like, we'll have testimonies where, well, such and such happened and my prayer was answered, but now I can't get my body to feel better. Or my body is feeling better in this one area, but the other area doesn't feel as good. In other words, it's always sectioned off. A little bit here, maybe not as much here. And, you know, my thought to you tonight is, it's going to be really good when you look at your life and say, okay, there's no peace here. Why is there no peace? Because you're going to find that there's areas that you're not as proficient in. There's areas where you go back to old habits, you go back to routines where you're in the way and you're not letting God have center stage. So begin to identify those as you do the homework.
We got a couple emails. We got one that says, good night, men of God. Great show. This is something I hear often in my circles concerning spiritual warfare after praying, healing, or deliverance for someone. A counterattack from the enemy should be expected. Just last week, a friend of mine prayed for a really sick woman. My friend herself was hospitalized toward the end of the week, and it said it was an attack because the devil was mad. Is this scriptural? God bless. No.
No.
This is wrong.
Well, again, that type of thinking is man-made, passed on through generations.
Yeah.
Where different people use that to spin an individual's choices and how well connected they are on a regular basis. So they spin it into something where the devil did that to me now because I went ahead and somebody got healed. Now I'm supposed to get sick. Well, remember now, what the Bible says, the Apostle Peter said, the devil acts like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Which means he's not a roaring lion. He portrays himself as big and bad. And he can't have anyone unless they allow him.
The only time, the only influence, the only power, the only success, the only window of opportunity that hell, Satan, Beelzebub, negative energy has to all of us is what we give them.
Right.
What we allow to occur.
Right.
And we've all said this. We all have a point where we won't listen. If somebody will be talking to us and it'll make our blood boil or upset us and we'll say, you know what? Shut up. I'm not listening anymore.
I'm done.
I'm done with this. I am so done with this.
Right.
And you just turn around, you walk away. Or you say, or you hang up the phone. You don't answer the phone. You don't return their emails. Or you just walk away, or you just get up and you leave, and you don't return. And they say, oh, come on, come back. And you say, no, forget it. I've had enough. How much easier is that to do that when the only person involved is yourself? Where no matter where you are, what you're doing, what time of day it is, you can literally just say, no thanks, negative energy, nope. And you replace it with peace.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you stop to participate, as soon as you stop acknowledging, you have peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind. We got an email here. Oh, I like this. I like this one a lot. It says, the septic tank or septic truck races. That's the title. You know what it says?
Hmm.
Maybe they call him Grand Poop. Instead of Grandpa, it's Grand Poop. I think that's clever. I
wonder who wrote that.
Well, they didn't say, please don't mention my name.
Right.
Okay, we got a message here. Subject says peace. I don't believe you can find peace if you have fear. If you are aware of the guys, you should be able to obtain peace. When I was little, my mom would hold me, and I felt safe at peace. I feel a greater peace with the guys. They embrace my soul and mind. Peace is around us in all creation, as long as you are open to accept it and let go of the fear. Awesome subject tonight. Thank you. Blessings to all. Well, see now. Oh, this is a new listener. Her name is Beverly. She's in.
That's good.
She's in Oklahoma somewhere, and she says hello to all. So that's kind of nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Paul gives a benediction to the second book he wrote to the believers in Thessalonica.
What's a benediction?
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just your maybe last words. It's like what I do at the end of the program, a prayer or something, okay? And in his writing, he gives this benediction, and it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's kind of like he's signing off.
Okay.
Well, Notice how he connects the dots. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. See, it's all connected to how real God is. Everything is.
Yep.
I just, it's more real to me now than ever before, folks. Listen, you can get into the certain study habits of trying to perfect your life just through scriptures, but the scriptures ought to be leading you to the person of Christ himself, where God becomes real and a part of your life. And the moment you begin to make that little small alteration, where it's not just the scriptures you have with you to quote, thank God for them, but it's how real God is as a result of those scriptures, everything's going to change. You'll sense peace just as much as you sense him. You'll sense confidence and assuredness just as much as you sense him.
I wonder how many places in the book peace is talked about. It's got to be everywhere.
It's from Genesis to Revelation.
Talks about peace.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at them all. They're incredible.
Probably a dozen.
No, like hundreds. Hundreds.
Hundreds of dozens?
Yeah.
Well, folks, we've given you a homework assignment, which is to take a piece of paper, draw a line down the center, keep track of when you have peace, keep track of when you don't have peace, and be honest with yourself over the next 7 days, and we'll talk about it on next week's broadcast.
Yeah.
And want to welcome any new listeners to the show.
Right.
And, I haven't said this in a while, and I probably should, because we did get an email about it. At the end of the show, after Ranger barks and we're off the air, last week's show starts to play, so there's no dead air. And it usually takes between 5 to 15 minutes for me to get tonight's show that you're listening to now recorded and then up and streaming. When I have tonight's show up and streaming, and you're listening to last week's show, waiting to listen again to tonight's show, when I switch and start streaming 24/7 until next Tuesday night, the show that you're listening to now, everybody gets kicked off of Live 365. It's not your machines. You didn't do anything wrong. But when you're listening to last week's show and all of a sudden you realize you're not connected anymore and you have to reconnect to listen, that means that BJ just started streaming tonight's show. I can't do anything about it. It's just the way the software works from Live 365. But that lets you know that the show's up and running. We got another email here. We haven't heard back from the septic tank people.
Hmm.
Maybe we chased them away.
No, sure hope we didn't.
It says, subject matter is peace. Please don't mention my name. Hi, Jim, BJ, and Lady Ranger. Wow, that's a first.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Ranger is a girl. Appreciate your show so much. Please continue teaching us how God can be real in our lives. I'm confident he wants to be real to us even more than we want him to be real. I have years of religion, tradition, and culture I'm unlearning. I listen to your archived shows often. I'm learning to turn from the drama of this world, and I'm understanding that this is how I labor to enter the rest that is promised by God. Hugs filled with love to Ranger. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, it's over in Hebrews in chapter 4. And, in fact, I've got it right here. And, you know, they made the comment, BJ, and it's a good subject, which is Paul writes, and he talks about labor to enter into the rest. And they didn't enter into the rest because of their unbelief. He's talking about the children of Israel and how they freaked out instead of just doing what God said. Well, notice he says there's a labor to enter into rest. And the labor, this is, we might as well say it this way. It's simple. It's just not easy.
Right.
That's the labor to enter into rest, how we would say it. So it becomes for everyone, depending on how messed with you've been religiously throughout the years. I mean, if you're like BJ, you didn't have any at all, and you guarded yourself from having any, then when he did come to Christ, he came all the way. Myself, I came to Christ as a 4-year-old boy, and it was real, and it was always real. But then throughout all the years, you get enough religion and tradition that begins to make it become more of the exercise or more of going to the actual church than it is the experiences of even the things that I had as a little boy. So you right. lose that. So depending on how messed with you are, in other words, how much tradition, religion, unbelief gets in you, it's always simple. It may be just not easy. That's laboring to enter into your rest.
Got another email that just came in. Wow. It doesn't even say a minute.
Okay.
It just popped up on the screen. It says, I know your views and personal position, but I wanted to ask, is it okay if I pray for Ranger?
Sure. So anybody can.
Because you prayed for Ranger before the show. I saw you out there
praying
for Ranger. And it just says, I know your personal views, opinions. Is it okay if I pray for Ranger? I can't imagine Ranger not being a part of the show. Yes, you can pray for Ranger.
Sure.
Well, I knew we were going to get a few.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were going to get this many.
Yep.
Okay, are you ready to say something to music?
A benediction.
Well, hold on. I'm not even. Let me get the... Okay.
Oh, by the way, while BJ's getting that ready, tomorrow night is the Hardesty Library at 7 o'clock, the Bible study. And what is that?
That's not your music.
No, that's not the music.
Okay, let me try again. Go ahead.
So 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock at the Hardesty Library, right off 169 and Memorial. We're going to have the Bible study. You can come. If you want to, you can find it live streamed on my webpage, which is www.jimhockaday.com, or even.
Wow!
Well, that scares me. Sure.
Elephant in the room. Well,
in the microphone.
Wow!
Or you can even find it on the Abiding Presence webpage. You can go to the live stream and. No, someone is not exasperated over what I'm doing.
I'm having a hard time finding your music.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
So anyhow, we'll love to have you come to the. It will not be raining, so don't worry. It'll be a nice day tomorrow.
It's raining. What's going to happen with all the books, Brother Jim?
And if you can't come, you can watch it live stream. Thank you very much.
That was fun. Okay, I don't know where your music is. Well, I'm really not sure what's going on here.
We don't need music. It's okay.
No, I'll find it. I'll find it. Just hold on. Oh, wait. I got it. Are you ready? Here it is.
Lines.
That's not your music. Hold on. I got to find it. It's got to be here somewhere. Just hold on. All right, let's see. All right, let's see here. Oh, no. Oh, that's the worst sound yet.
That's not my music.
It's your music.
Well, but it's not.
It says Jim Music. All right, hold on. I got to be getting close. Are you going to talk?
I'm in shock. It took so long. Everybody, thanks for listening in tonight. We certainly want you to leave this broadcast with a sense of God being real. And obviously, our topic tonight, the sense of God's peace in your life. You don't have to be unraveled by any situation that comes. We don't have to look to man to find help. We can actually find help in God. So this week, I pray that your eyes would be opened again, according to Ephesians 1:16 through 21. That you would begin to know God more. He would be so real to you. His voice would be so real to you. You could literally have the rest that Paul's talking about and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So no matter what your mind's saying, you can be confident in God and experience Him all day long. This is what we want for you. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
See, I found it.
You did.
Well, what'd you think of the show tonight?
You scared everybody with the elephants in the room.
Man, was that something?
That was loud.
That's really not my fault when that stuff happens. You keep blaming.
They were way too close.
It says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, enjoyed the show very much. It was a great way to complete my day. Both at peace. This is from Venetia and Deco. Deco's a nice name for
yeah,
a pet.
Yeah.
D-E-C-O, Deco.
Thank you for emailing
yeah.
me.
Jim, what do you think? Did we do all right?
Yes, I think it's good to always see some of the topics that most people in religious circles, that most people hear about, and relate those topics to the overall theme of what we're trying to do, help people find God to be real.
Now, when you said you wanted to talk about peace, is this, did it go the way you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like always, we researched and studied hard, and if people knew that it's like 3 minutes, 2 minutes and counting before the microphones go hot, and I say good evening, and it's today's date, and we still don't have a subject or topic.
Sometimes it's like that.
Sometimes? Sometimes? How many times do you think it is out of a month?
Well, I'd
three
say
or four.
I'd say it's probably three.
Three times a month we're clueless. Yeah, we've even started the
twice,
show without.
Half.
We've started the show with no idea at all.
Yeah, that's kind of fun sometimes.
It is kind of fun. But well, folks. Want to welcome all the new listeners again. Remember, it'll take 5 to 15 minutes for me to get tonight's show up and streaming. And when I do get it up there, it'll kick you off and you just got to log back on and listen. Want yep. you to take care of yourselves and your pets. Thanks for all the well-wishing for Ranger. And Ranger's right here. And remember your homework assignment, peace. What is it?
What?
Oh, what? Ranger. Dog spelled backwards.
What? What do you say?
That's pretty good.
It is.
Good night, Jim.
Ranger. Good night.
Take care, Ranger. All right. Good dog.